Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always, to be part of your day. And we got some really good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. Mr. Charles Fishman is our guest. He's joined us now. He's the author of a new book called The Walmart Effect, and we're going to talk about that, maybe even debate a few of those things. Charles, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you here. And by the way, Charles is a business journalist. He's been doing this for quite some time. Is this your first book, Charles?
It is actually my second book. My first book, I ghost wrote a book about customer service for a Harvard Business School professor and a guy who owned his own ad agency. And that was that was great fun, but my name did not appear on the cover.
Well, that's no good.
Well,
and you don't have to share this one.
I wouldn't have had the opportunity to try out the whole process without those guys.
And so, you learned a lot, didn't you?
I learned a tremendous amount, and this, you know, this book was a different and an incredible adventure because, of course, no one directly associated with Walmart would talk to me.
Oh, really?
Really?
Well, did they know that you were going to have an attitude before that?
No, they made their decisions about me without ever talking to me.
Is that right? So you never talked to anybody at Walmart to write the Walmart Effect?
Not in order to write the book. Now, I talked to many people who had worked at Walmart.
Right.
In fact, I actually took out advertisements, display advertisements in the newspapers around Walmart headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, and the towns around there with the headline, "Did you help build Walmart?"
Wow. And what did you get?
Oh, I got a good response. I mean, Walmart does one thing brilliantly. They have figured out how to sell stuff we need every day cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They do not know how to tell their own story. If you want to tell the good news about Walmart,
most of us actually have that same problem. I mean, that's not unique to Walmart.
That problem, but yes, most. But you would think a company with more employees than the U.S. military.
Right.
Would be able to go find someone who could help them explain themselves. So they don't tell their own story very well, and they don't actually explain the positive impact that they have very well, which would at least help people have a richer picture when it comes to understanding the negative.
Well, what did the people that responded to your survey tell you?
Well, it wasn't. I mean, I was actually looking for people to talk to me, and the kinds of people I ended up hearing from: the man who created their pharmacy business, the man who mm-hmm. created their auto service business.
Had they gotten rich?
Have they gotten?
Had they become rich as a result of that?
That is not a question I asked specifically. Those two men certainly had become quite wealthy because of Walmart stock.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing. If you bought even 100 shares of Walmart stock just during the first 15 years that stock was available, at any moment, you would now be a millionaire without having spent another
just
dime.
Just 100 shares.
Just 100 shares. So
wow.
In the early days, if you were smart enough to realize that Walmart was going to be a success, you didn't have to invest much to get a great return.
So one good thing Walmart has done is it's created a lot of value in the marketplace, hasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Huge.
A lot of, it's created a lot of wealth, I should say.
If you
is what I meant to say. It's created
a lot of
wealth among investors.
Among employees who helped create the company.
Right.
And in some ways, that's even more potent because those people invested their energy and sweat, and they were rewarded with both having created something and with a financial reward.
Mm-hmm.
The charitable contributions, the names of early Walmart employees and executives are on auditoriums and stadiums and art museums all over Northwest Arkansas, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things that that Walmart is, as you say, is known for the low, for allegedly having low prices. I don't think that they always have the lowest price. I think that they just have that aura of having the lowest price. That's their story. They do it very efficiently, and they have a lot of people who do business with them. And they are the largest corporation on the planet, aren't they?
It depends on how you measure. They are the largest corporation in terms of number
sales.
Of employees. They are the largest in terms of sales, except for ExxonMobil in the last year, mm-hmm. and only because oil prices have gone up.
Exactly. But two years ago,
ExxonMobil's increasing prices.
Right. They were the highest a year until the price went up. Exactly. The Walmart Effect by Charles Fishman. He and I will be right back when we come back. I'm going to say that you should say thank you to Walmart, small business owners. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend Charles Fishman, the author of The Walmart Effect. Charles, tell us where the book's available and give us your website, please.
Well, you can get a taste of the book on the website. There are excerpts of three chapters at the low Walmart price of free, and the book's website is www.walmarteffectbook.com. And the book is just out in paperback. It has the paperback version has a new chapter based on my being invited to Walmart headquarters.
Wow.
To hear their side of the story after the book came out.
How'd that turn out?
Well, talk about a fascinating journey.
Were you surprised?
Of course. I mean, Walmart wouldn't speak to me at all in the years that I was writing about Walmart, and then when I was working on the book, and I asked them many times and invited them to participate in any way that they were willing, from, you know, throwing open the doors and showing me how the place really works to simply answering basic fact questions to make sure I didn't make errors. They wouldn't confirm that Walmart existed officially. and so to have them call me up 2 months after the book came out and say, we don't like everything in the book, but the book's being taken seriously. It's clearly a serious book, and you're having an impact on how people think about us. We think there are some things you don't understand very well, and we'd like you to come to Bentonville.
A little bit late there, folks. You think?
Listen. For small business people, I think there's an important lesson there, and I don't know that small business people have this hesitation. But if reporters want to write about you, you're much more likely to have an impact on the story if you flood the zone with love.
Absolutely. Say that again. Flood the zone with love. I like
flood
that.
Flood the zone with love. Invite them in. If Walmart had said, you know what, we're not confident that you're going to do the book we want, but we will let you see whatever you want at this company.
Right. At least if they talked to you, they could have. If you wrote something they didn't like, they could have said, "Well, you know what? He's wrong. We talked to him. We explained that to him. He got it wrong."
Right. It would have been a much different book.
Yeah. Exactly. It would have been your work would have been much different.
Right. At a place like Walmart, what they will tell you, and this is true, and I think it's a little hard for ordinary people to account for, they are simply flooded with requests. They have 50 or 60 full-time PR people do nothing but talk to reporters.
Right.
And most of the time they're telling reporters, we won't talk to you.
Yeah, they're a high target item for sure. What is it that they didn't like about what you said?
I'm sorry?
What is it that they didn't like about what you wrote in the book?
Well, they didn't like the portrayal of their relationship with factories that they buy products from overseas.
Uh-huh.
Because they don't employ the people who work in those factories. They simply buy the product.
Right.
And yet often those people work in conditions that we would consider uncivilized.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart actually has a code of conduct that is part of the contract. And you're required, if you're supplying Walmart, to sign the code of conduct and abide by it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Walmart takes its contract provision seriously.
Right.
They also do more factory inspections than any other organization in the world. They
wow.
do 50 factory inspections a day.
Wow.
And yet most of their factories only get inspected once or twice a year, which gives mm-hmm. you an idea how many factories there are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, in fact, in their own factory inspections, they are scheduled in advance. Most of them are not unannounced, only mm-hmm. 15%. And they find violations of their own code of conduct in 60% of those factories.
Even though they know they're coming.
So how seriously are we taking the code of conduct?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess not that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They said, look, you know, if you're a company headquartered in Detroit or New York or Los Angeles and you have a factory in Texas or Kentucky or Florida, how easy is it to get the factory, how easy is it for headquarters to get the factory that works for the same company in the same country where they're cutting the paychecks to do what headquarters wants them to do?
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that getting people to do what you want them to do, even when they work for you, is hard. Their point was, this is a much more complicated problem than it looks. We don't mm-hmm. run the factories. We don't control the factories. Even if we want them to treat people better, often the managers have an incentive,
right.
a financial incentive, to not treat people well and keep the money for themselves. And I appreciated the opportunity to understand that level of complexity.
Charles, another thing that a lot of small business owners want to do business with Walmart. They want to sell their stuff to Walmart. And we've reported on the show about at least a couple of horror stories where the folks actually had that fortune, what they thought was fortune at the beginning, to be able to actually get a contract from Walmart. And the next thing they knew, Walmart was doing more business with them than they started out doing. And they thought, wow, this is wonderful, until Walmart started doing the majority of their business that the small business was selling was going to Walmart. And then all of a sudden, when Walmart was sucking up most of their resources, they started jerking their chain a little bit. Did you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. Very common.
It really has hurt some companies.
And I don't think this is malicious on Walmart's part, to be fair. I think this is a perfect example of how Walmart often has a negative impact, but there's not people, you know, cackling with evil glee and rubbing their hands together,
mm-hmm.
saying, let's crush some small businesses today. Their job is to deliver popular products at the lowest possible price.
Yeah.
So you start doing business with them and they say, hey, that new kind of shampoo or pen mm-hmm. or garden tools flying off the shelf, you need to make it 10% cheaper.
I personally don't shop at Walmart, ladies and gentlemen. I have before, but I haven't in a long time. And it's because I can get everything I need at a price I'm willing to pay at a small business around me. Tintil, when we come back, I am going to talk about why I say small businesses should actually thank Walmart. I'll do that right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog, too, while you're there. The Walmart Effect is the book that has been written and now released in paperback by Charles Fishman. Charles, give us that website again, please.
www.walmarteffectbook.com. The Economist called it one of the best books of 2006.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
And
go to that website, folks, and you can read a little bit about the book. Okay, I promised, and I'm going to do it. I say to small business owners, Charles, that they can't do business with everybody. Walmart thinks everybody is a customer prospect for them, and it's probably true. Everybody on the planet is probably a prospect for Walmart. Small business owners can't do that. If everybody in their marketplace decided to come in their business today, they couldn't handle it. So don't try to be all things to all people. Let Walmart give people what they need, which is commodities at low price. You give them, small business owners, what they want, which is customization at a price that's based on the value of how you're delivering what they want, not just on the commodity. And if you believe that, and if you accept that, which I believe is the key to success in 21st century marketplace. If you believe that, then you'll actually say thanks to Walmart for taking all the people who only want price out of your hair.
Well, that's a great way of thinking about it. Walmart, when Walmart arrives in town, small businesses are often in a panic, as well they should be. But what Walmart's arrival does is point the way to the future.
That's
if
right.
you're just selling pens, if you're just selling nuts and bolts, if you're just selling Lego kits out, you know, off the shelf, you're not going to compete with Walmart. But if you can show me how to fit the bicycle to my third grader, mm-hmm. if you can explain to me why my refrigerator door or my microwave oven door or my back screen door is broken and how to fix it, if you're including that in the big idea of customization, Walmart can't fit the bicycle to your kid.
That's
Walmart
right.
will sell you a bicycle for $29. Good luck putting it
well,
together.
Well, you need
sure
a bicycle.
Ride it.
You need a bicycle, but you want it fitted to your kid.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
where the difference is. And see, the other thing about Walmart is they don't always have the same stuff. When you go back a month later, see, I'm one of these guys that when I find something I like, I want to be able to go back the next week and next month and get the same thing. When you go back to Walmart, they may not have the same thing sitting there in the same place like my grocery store does or my small business does.
They may not. I think that's less of a problem than you imagine. But
that's the reason I don't shop with them because I can't. I tell you what, though, I like their produce. They have a good produce division. I'll give them that. But anyway, what do you think small business owners should do?
I think small businesses should make sure that they're not hoping that people will continue to patronize them out of some sense of loyalty mm-hmm. or sentimentality. You need a business proposition for your customers, and the business proposition has to be, we can help you get the experience and the product you need for the problem you have. As I said, if you don't have guidance, help, advice, service, and an atmosphere to offer people, you're not going to compete.
What you're saying is as cute and cuddly as we are, we can't get by on our looks anymore. Is
absolutely
that what you're saying?
Not. The perfect example is Starbucks. Americans are perfectly willing to pay 3 or 4 times what they should for something.
Right.
As long as they feel like they're getting something mm-hmm. for their money.
They need coffee, but they want whatever it is Starbucks wraps around it.
They want the experience of a break and a dependable, comforting environment. And you know what? We will do the same thing. If we walk in and we're looking for a piece of hardware and we're confused and you take good care of us, I have 2 young children. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine what the next age level wants for gifts. I need a local toy store where I can walk in and say, tell me what a 9-year-old girl likes to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that at Walmart.
Exactly.
You can buy the toys cheap at Walmart, but you might be wasting your money because you don't know what to buy.
Charles, quick question. I got 30 seconds. What's next for Walmart?
Next for Walmart is to try and fix its environmental image in this country and dramatic expansion in India and China. And the waves from that retail expansion, I think, will roll back on the United States. I don't think we're done by any means with the Walmart effect in this country.
You think it'll be more dramatic than it's been in the past, in the future?
I think it's going to be different. And I think mm-hmm. Walmart is going to help reshape and modernize India and China in ways we can't anticipate.
Will you promise to keep us posted on these things as time goes by?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back. Good job today.
Thank you, sir.
We enjoyed having you here. Charles Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Walmart Effect, and that's a national bestseller. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.